Certainly glad that you're here today to engage in another study from God's Word. That's already off. Let me see here. Nope. We appreciate the fact that you're coming out and being with us today to study from God's Word. We are going to take the time today to recognize those that are here visiting, but we appreciate the fact of you visiting today. Let me get the cordials over here. Two waves of skin cap. Realizing the fact that we have some that are unable to be here and battling different things at this time. Bob, as he's going through his back trouble at this time and hip trouble, and certainly Judy. Len was talking to Tina yesterday, and she was stating now that if you would, and certainly they appreciate cards and phone calls and everything else that people have been doing, but if you could possibly call now before you come. I know there's probably been some people that have just dropped by, but it's gotten to the point now that it might be better for you to call and to let them know that you're coming and to make your visits as brief as possible, maybe 10, 15 minutes at the most with visits, but certainly the family appreciates everything that the people have done and what they continue to do for them. But if we can, just let them know when we're going to come and to make the visits brief. Life's interruptions. I was watching a mother and children a couple of days ago, and she was trying to balance four children at the same time, a little baby, maybe a two-year-old, and then a couple of toddlers after that. And it was just amazing how many times the little lady was in line at the grocery store and she was being interrupted by her children, and certainly those that are mothers can understand that and what they've gone through over the years. And I know Chuck was telling me a couple of weeks ago when one of his granddaughters was there, I think, that within the first hour she was talking to Robin, whatever she calls Robin, Grammy, or whatever it is, that she must have said it within the first hour some 200 times that she continually wanted the attention of Robin. But we understand that there are times when our life is interrupted. And certainly this is a spiritual sermon to deal with because of the fact that many times we can lose our temper. We can lose our temper when we are interrupted. Maybe that you've had to choose between your faith or your family or your job. And when we look at this from the standpoint of the Scriptures, we want to look at today how Jesus handled this. I think about Jesus, if he had a cell phone or a laptop or an iPad, and how many times that thing would be going off. I just made up this slide about just a day timer that people used to use years ago. Here one day I'll preach at Capernaum. The next day I'll go and I'll raise Jairus' little girl from the dead. The next day, I tell you what, I'll just go and preach the Sermon on the Mount. Over here on this side, maybe I'll rest in the boat ride for a few minutes, and then I'll get up and I'll calm the sea, or the fact that I'll eat with the disciples. You just cannot imagine You cannot imagine the schedule that Jesus Christ had. When we think about this, we think about the fact that Jesus lived a very busy life. When you turn over to the book of Mark, you see the word immediately used 39 times in the book of Mark. We don't like that term a lot of times when somebody says, well, I want you to do that, but I want you to do this immediately. That causes our breath to change sometimes because we have to do something immediately. But in the book of Mark and in chapter 1 and in verse 10, it says in verse 10, and immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And the voice out of heaven saying, you're my beloved Son, in whom you are well pleased. And I am well pleased. In verse 12, in chapter 1 of Mark, it says, immediately the Spirit impelled him to go into the wilderness. In chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. In verse 28, it says, immediately the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. In verse 29, it says, and immediately they came out of the synagogue. They came into the house of Simon and Andrew, James and John. In verse 30, it says, now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. So over and over again in the book of Mark, you see the term used, immediately. And a lot of times, we just don't like that term. The idea that you do this immediately. Jesus shows how we can best handle the combination of a busy schedule with frequent interruptions. Just go through this rather quickly today and the lesson will be yours. Just different points in the life of Jesus. One is he's interrupted when he's seeking solitude and prayer. In Mark and in chapter 1 and in verse 33 and 34, Mark 1 and in verse 33 and 34. Mark 1, verse 33. It says that the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. In verse 35 beginning. Verse 35, it says, and early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house. He went away to a secluded place and was praying there. And Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, everyone is looking for you. They search for him. In the Greek, it means to pursue his tracks. The idea is that he is being hunted like an animal here at this time. He's trying to get away. He's trying to get away and to be with his father for just a few moments, praying in a secluded place, and still the people come to him. They found him, and they said that everyone is looking for you. But he realized that the way to start a day, even though you're busy, and I know a lot of people in the back, they talk about how busy they are all the time. But I don't know if anybody was as busy as the Lord Jesus Christ. And still, he started his day by communicating with the Father. How about while teaching a sermon? He couldn't even finish a sermon in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark and in chapter 2, it says that there were many gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Jesus, seeing their face, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Does he get angry? Does he get angry that somebody has interrupted his sermon? No. Doesn't get angry concerning that. Does he get angry at the apostles? You all are supposed to be the ones that do a little crowd control here while I do this sermon. I need to finish this sermon. Does he get mad at the apostles? No. Doesn't get mad at the apostles. Jesus sees a great faith. A great faith in the middle of all these people. Jesus sees an opportunity to take his teaching to a whole new level. In fact, he says here in verse 5, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" And this is where he takes the teaching to a new level. He says in verse 8, "But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?'" That's the idea. Immediately, there's that word again, immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning the way within themselves, said, "Why are you reasoning about these things that are in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk,' so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins?" And he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he got up, he immediately picked up his pallet. He went out in the sight of everyone. Evidently, he divided the whole house out of the way. They were getting out of the way so he could walk back home again. And they were amazed. And they glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this. Never seen anything like this." So he was interrupted while teaching a sermon. He was interrupted while trying to eat. I don't know hardly anything make you madder than that when you're trying to eat. Things are so busy. Things are so busy that Jesus cannot even stop and eat. Says Mark 3, verse 20 and 21. "He came home, the crowd gathered together again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal." Couldn't even eat a meal. "And when his people heard of it, they went out to take custody of him," his family. His family went out to take custody of him, because they were saying, he's lost his senses. He's lost his senses. But what did Jesus do? Not able to eat. He's being interrupted again. His family is turning on him here, saying, "We need to take him back home with us." Well, in Mark chapter 3 and in verse 22 beginning, Mark 3 verse 22 beginning, we see that he keeps on teaching in the moment. He says in verse 22, "And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, 'He is possessed by Beelzebub. And he cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons. And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. He uses the moment. He's interrupted while he's eating. But he uses the moment to start teaching. How about when you're asleep? How about you're interrupted when you're asleep? Kids used to do that when they lived at home. They'd be interrupting when we were in a sound sleep. Mark 4 and in verse 38 beginning. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Do you not care that we're perishing? Do you know what I've done for you so far? And you ask me, do you not care that we're perishing? He got up, he rebuked the way he didn't rebuke the disciples at this time. Wasn't mad at them from this standpoint. He said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And then he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" How about this one? While accommodating someone, he's on his way somewhere and he's interrupted even that process. By this point, you're not surprised at what's happening to Jesus. The people rush to Jesus for help regardless of what he's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to do a wonderful thing. To bring a man's daughter back to life. And Mark and in chapter 5 and in verse 21 through 24. Man says, "My little girl is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, so that she'll get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him, pressing in on him. And what happens? He's on his way to heal this little girl, and he gets interrupted. Mark 5, verse 25 beginning. The woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather has grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. We pick up the reading now. Verse 28, Mark 5. For she thought, "If I just touch his garment, I will get well." Immediately, there's that word again. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Verse 30, immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Of course, the disciples. Are you crazy? Everybody's touching your garments. There's people everywhere around here. But he asked the question, "Who touched my garments?" His disciples said, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came down and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And then it says, while he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official and said, "Your daughter has died." This interruption has caused your daughter to die. Why trouble the teacher anymore? And Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe." But he allowed no one to accompany him but Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official. And he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. He entered in and said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but is asleep." He takes her. He says to her, "Get up." Verse 42, immediately, there's the word again, immediately, the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astonished. Many, many more. One-on-one time with his friends, to where he couldn't even spend time with his disciples, to where finally there's 5,000 men surrounding him with women and children, and he had to take the time to feed the 5,000. Not only that, but to explain important details about the fact that he began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer, verse 31, chapter 8, verse 31, began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." It's interrupted. Children who desire extra attention. Even to the point in Mark chapter 15 and in verse 29, Mark 15 and verse 29, it says, "Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.'" I have seen a lot of people die. But in the time, I can't tell you how many people I've seen die. But in the time I've seen all those people die, not one time have I seen anybody hurl abuse at the person who's dying. Usually they're very kind. Usually they're very respectful of the person that's getting ready to die. But here, even at the point of death, Jesus is being interrupted by people hurling abuse at him. The lessons we take away: Jesus distinguished between the core, maybe his family, maybe his disciples, the crowd, the critic. I might be dealing with a tragedy one minute, the next minute I'd be playing Legos with my grandson. You might be doing the same thing. But we understand, as we do these things, we look past the irritation of being interrupted many times to the inward motivations. And Jesus saw these interruptions as his work instead of obstacles to his work. Well, one final interruption Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 13, verse 35, verse 37, "Be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, midnight, when the rooster crows, or in the morning. But I say to you all, be on the alert." Because whatever we're doing, if we live long enough to see that, that interruption is coming. So today you can prepare for that important interruption. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. You may not have planned on getting baptized today, but it's going to be the most important interruption of your life. You think about that. Think about that while together we stand and sing.